John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. Palestinian leaders to meet in Cairo to discuss reconciliation. Meanwhile, power problem in the Gaza Strip remains unsolved. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Chiefs of Palestinian factions and leaders of the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Speaker of the Palestinian National Council, in addition to some independent Palestinian figures, are set to meet in Cairo on Thursday to discuss the latest political developments and the ongoing efforts towards Palestinian reconciliation. A Palestinian-informed source said that reconciliation and evaluation of the performance of the committees which emerged from the Cairo agreement, in addition to the election of a new leadership to the Palestinian National Council, will dominate the agenda. The conveners would address the formation of a technocrat government to be headed by the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, as agreed in Doha between Abbas and Hamas chief Khaled Mashal. In the meantime, Israeli President's administration transferred approximately 120 prisoners from the Negev Desert Prison to an unknown location. A press statement issued by the prisoners, published by the Palestinian Prisoner Society, said that 120 prisoners were transferred without allowing them to take their belongings after two special military forces broke into the prison with weapons and dogs. They also said that the prison's administration informed the prisoners that it would cancel all previous agreements with them and that it would escalate the procedures against them. In other news, Israeli troops invaded on Tuesday afternoon Al-Khadr town west of the West Bank city of Bethlehem and fired rubber-coated metal bullets and gas bombs at dozens of youth who hurled stones at and empty bottles at them. The soldiers also attacked dozens of bystanders and violently struck and beat a 15-year-old youth identified as Isa Yusuf Sbeh before kidnapping him and taking him to an unknown destination. In related news, soldiers kidnapped on Tuesday at dawn three Palestinians who approached the border fence area east of Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Eyewitnesses identified the three as Ashraf al-Sufi, Muhammad Abu Ghadra, and Saddam Abu Ghadra, all from Rafah. Israel enforces a no-man's zone in areas that are close to the border, an issue that prevents hundreds of residents from entering their own farmlands. Several casualties were reported when Israeli troops opened fire and even fired shells at residents who approached the no-man's zone. Ismail Haniyeh, head of the Hamas-led Palestinian government in the Gaza Strip, said that the electricity crisis in Gaza would be resolved soon and that certain mechanisms to resolve the issue will be implemented soon in direct agreement and cooperation with Egypt. Egyptian Minister of Electricity and Energy Hassan Yunus stated Tuesday that Egypt will be providing Gaza nearly 22 megawatts by the beginning of next week. The Gaza's only power station that provides one-third of the Gaza Strip with electricity had to shut down again on February 14 due to fuel shortage. That's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 22nd, daily roundup news from the occupied Palestinian territories. We hope you will join us again tomorrow. This has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, George Ishmael.
Afghanistan, yesterday, NATO was reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from a non-hostile related injury in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Monday, the Albanian military reported that an Albanian soldier was shot and killed by a member of the Afghan National Police while on patrol in Kandahar. Two other NATO soldiers were wounded in the attack, a kind of attack that has been happening since the Afghans were at war with the Soviet Union. Afghanistan, Monday, three Italian NATO soldiers were killed in their vehicle during an unspecified rescue operation. A fourth soldier was injured. Camp Lemonnier, Djibouti, Africa, Saturday. A U.S. U-28 aircraft crashed after flying an unspecified support mission for the war in Afghanistan, killing four U.S. soldiers. Afghanistan, yesterday. Thousands of Afghans protested outside the gates of Bagram Air Base, the main U.S. base in Kabul, after laborers there found three partially burned copies of the Quran in the garbage while picking up the base's trash. U.S. helicopters shot flares at the protesters in an attempt to drive them off. Haji Shirin, one of the protesters at Bagram, said, quote, "We Afghans don't want these Christians and infidels. They are the enemy of our soil, our honor, and our Quran. Does this sound like U.S. troops are winning hearts and minds or behaving like mindless crusaders?" The Washington Post is reporting that the Korans were removed from the base library after somebody added, quote, radical, inspirational inscriptions to them. Afghanistan, today, 26 people were shot in continuing protests against the desecration, burning, and trashing of the Quran at Bagram Air Base in two separate incidents. The first shots were fired from what was described as a foreign military vehicle. The second incident was Afghan police shooting at protesters on a highway on the outskirts of Kabul. Don't these pigs understand that when you shoot at protesters in Afghanistan, they or their friends shoot back at a time and place of their choosing? In the protests themselves, protesters charged and stormed through police lines. Barricades of burning tires provided protection while protesters smashed vehicles and windows belonging to their enemies, the occupation forces. A housing compound used by foreign contract workers was burned by protesters. Shouts of "Death to America" got all the way inside the Afghan parliament as members of the legislature shouted their outrage. Chants of "Death to Karzai" were also heard in a large protest just outside the city. Quote, "When the Americans insult us to this degree, we will join the insurgents," said Ajmal, an 18-year-old protester in Kabul. Afghanistan, today. Nine young girls were injured in a NATO helicopter attack in Afghanistan's eastern Nangarhar province, an Afghan official reported today. Quote, "This morning a school was attacked by a NATO helicopter. 9 children, all girls, and the school's janitor have been injured. Ahmad Zia Abdulzai, the Nangarhar provincial government spokesman, told AFP, "What have we come to when the Americans are blowing up young girls for going to school in Afghanistan?" Helmand Province, Afghanistan, yesterday. 4 men suspected of being snitches were executed by insurgents, according to the regional governor. As is usual for snitches in Afghanistan, they were beheaded. Pakistan, Friday. A suicide motorcycle bomb near a mosque during Friday prayers killed 31 people in a mostly Shiite area of northwest Pakistan. Pakistan, last Thursday. A suspected U.S. drone fired 2 missiles at a house in Pakistan's northwest tribal region near the Afghan border Thursday, killing 6 people, according to Pakistani intelligence officials. The attack occurred in Spalka village in the North Waziristan tribal area. Baghdad, Iraq. Monday, a suicide car bomb outside a Baghdad police academy killed 18 recruits and wounded 27 recruits and police. The blast set many other cars on fire, according to witnesses. The GOP primaries for the 2012 presidential election are beginning to take on an ugly sectarian undertone. We've got violently anti-gay and anti-birth control activist Rick Santorum attacking Barack Obama, a sitting president, for being the wrong kind of Christian. The only other country I know of where this kind of sectarian religious attack is being made on a head of state or any member of his cabinet is Iraq, where Prime Minister Maliki, a Shiite, is trying to have the Sunni vice president arrested. If the 2012 election in the U.S. turns on sectarian issues, both GOP frontrunners will have a problem. The last Catholic U.S. president was Kennedy, but he did not need a single vote from GOP Southern fundamentalist Protestant Christians to get elected. Mitt Romney, a Mormon, would be rejected by a lot of Southern Baptists and other so-called evangelicals as not being a Christian at all, while Santorum, being a Catholic, would have to overcome bigotry by some fundamentalist Protestants that regard the Catholic Bible as satanic or worse. Maybe that's why Santorum is campaigning so aggressively on anti-women and anti-birth control issues, so beloved of the religious right, to get ahead of the sectarian problem? If so, I don't know what the elephant in the room is smoking. Some kind of hashish, I suppose, but I do not want to hit on it, and I hope to God it goes out before November. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. The 16th of February, protesters from Respect DC and Occupy DC joined forces to shut down Walmart's demolition of the old Curtis Chevrolet site on Georgia Avenue for the day. Protesters showed up at 7 a.m. prior to the start of their workday, to the dismay of 2 officials from Folger Pratt. Folger Pratt is a developer that hopes to have a Walmart as their tenant for the site, but first they have to demolish all the old buildings there. They've already trashed the historic old car barn that once served the city's trolley lines just days after preservation advocates were defeated in court. With protesters on site, the 2 Folger Pratt officials refused to open the gates of the site, turning away at least 3 heavy trucks. The first of them was the porta potty pump out truck. The guy's here to pump out the porta johns, but the site's locked up. They're not here. That means the porta potties don't get pumped. That's gonna sting. The day they come to clean out the porta-johns is not the day they have the site shut down. Oh, maybe they gave him a key. They don't pump them potties, it's gonna stink around here, so he's... Ooh, you hear that? No. Part of the construction crew for Walmart got passers-by saying, kick your asses. Them porta-johns are gonna stink, but not as bad as Walmart does. Folger Pratt then begged police to move protesters out of the driveway in front of the gate, but police just told protesters about the three warnings and mass arrest procedures that could be followed if they refused to move. They said the porta potty truck was going to be back, but it never showed up.
Okay. If you don't, then we have to start going down the road with warnings and everything else, so you could be suspecting yourself to arrest.
Right.
So, just let me know how you guys want to proceed.
Well, I guess we'll know how to proceed once workers try to come in.
Well, she's coming back. I just told her to turn around and come back.
Oh, that sanitation truck.
Huh?
The sanitation truck?
Yeah, and the lady in the Range Rover.
The Range Rover, I didn't see.
Maybe it's time to get the tents.
You like a sign?
No, thanks. I'm good. They called us because you guys...
Folger Pratt people complained to the police about being unable to get into the site. There was only one person from Folger Pratt wanted to get in. Bring the porta-john pump-out crew in, but of course there's protesters here, and she didn't have the guts to just unlock the door anyway, so she went to the cops, but protesters are still here, no sign of the work crews that are supposed to come, according to the police. It's now 8:30. The gist of it was this: protesters refused to move, the other two trucks were unable to enter, and although protesters were done by about 9:30 a.m., workers had already been told not to show up for the day, and at 1 p.m. it was announced by Occupy DC that demolition had been stopped for the entire day. Folger Pratt claimed they had no plans to work the site that day, but that's easy to say when they didn't have the option of working. To idle the site for a day cost them money and equipment rentals that continue to run with or without anything getting done at the job site. Meanwhile, while protesters were on site, some people going by yelled support for the protests in opposition to Walmart.
Show Walmart!
Say no to
Walmart. Take your jobs away! Support Walmart!
You heard that, Walmart. Respect DC and get the hell out. The 20th of February was a national day of protest and action against horrific conditions in U.S. prisons and jails. Here in D.C., Occupy D.C. and a variety of community organizations protested in front of the D.C. jail.
Say no to the new Jim Crow! Say no to the new Jim Crow!
There were three main demands concerning D.C. One is that privatization of prisons be ended. Many D.C. prisoners get sent to federal hell holes owned and operated by corporations like CCA and the GEO Group, which in turn is heavily invested in by Wells Fargo Bank. The GEO Group runs Rivers Correctional Institution, a private prison notorious for torture and medical neglect that a hell of a lot of D.C. inmates have passed through.
This is big business. D.C. sends as many people to prison for parole revocations as they do for committing felonies. Right. This is crazy.
Yes, sir.
As many people for not breaking the law as for breaking the law. So why do they do that? Well, one reason they do that because there's big money in it, not only for CCA, but for Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah, that's right.
Wells Fargo is a collaborator with the GEO Group. The GEO Group runs something called Rivers Correctional Institution. It's a couple steps here, but basically they arrest you in D.C. on a parole revocation for not breaking the law. They pull you in here for a few months, and then they ship you down to Rivers where somebody can make more money off your body. They don't give a crap what happens to you, but there's money to be made by both GEO Group and by Wells Fargo. So what people demand, boycott Wells Fargo.
The so-called correctional treatment facility next to the D.C. jail is another corporate-owned facility, as it is owned and operated by CCA, the so-called Corrections Corporation of America. In addition to demanding the closure of corporate-owned prisons and an end to mass incarceration across the U.S., there were two very specific D.C. demands. One was an end to routine pretrial detention of black and Latino defendants in D.C. jail on the smallest of charges.
It's about controlling, oppressing, and destroying black and brown people.
All right.
Just the
All
way
right.
institutions in this country have historically controlled, oppressed, and destroyed black and brown people. Now, back in the day, during slavery, during Jim Crow, all that stuff, they were more oppressed. fought about that racism, right? They were bold about it. They just said, oh, you're black, you're brown, you don't have rights, you're not equal. That's it. Now, today, in the post-racial America we live in, you got a black president, they don't say that. What they've done is that they've taken out the word black, they've taken out the word brown, and they've inserted in that the word criminal.
The other demand was that the D.C. jail drop the planned total replacement of inmate visitation with video conferencing only. This is an outrage. Prisoners have the right to visitation with family members, and here's what one protester had to say about it.
They know the video, face-to-face is the way to go.
Here, here, yeah.
They want to implement a system over here where our inmates over here at this district jail have to be visited by a video screen over at another facility. The renovation of that facility for this purpose is going to take millions of dollars. Those dollars can be well spent right there in that jail.
Hear, hear.
The environmental and sanitary conditions of the jail need to be upgraded.
That's right.
They can spend money there. They give the inmates minimum hygiene products when they come in. They give them a little bit, enough to say they gave it to them, but it's not enough. They need new mattresses. You know what the result can be from sleeping on bad mattresses. The bed bugs, other types of, you know, mites and everything. They could do that. There's a lot more. They could renovate the space that they have for visiting right now. They can upgrade those phones. They can widen that area. And then the director has told two different groups in 1 week that one of the reasons is because they're not able to have visitation on weekends and holidays because of staff shortage. But you're going to have to pay the staff for them to visit over there, so why can't they pay for them to visit right here?
Here, here. That's right.
A very poor excuse.
Big lies, lies.
Hey, D.C. jail, D.C. council, and so-called superior court, just remember, what comes around goes around, and you are breeding crime by torturing prisoners. Same goes for all you employers who won't hire returning citizens. What are the people you won't hire supposed to eat, and where are they supposed to live? On the 26th of February, animal rights protesters showed up outside Intermix, a high-end fashion boutique on M Street in Georgetown. Intermix sells fur and is on record as claiming there was no public pressure to stop selling fur. The protesters were there to make them eat these words.
We are dark, defending animal rights today and tomorrow. We're here at Intermix because they still sell fur. They said that if they had enough public pressure, they would stop. So we're here to inform you about what happens to the animals used for fur and ask you to please call Intermix and tell them to stop selling fur. Animals used for fur are often gassed, they're caught in traps, they're kept in tiny barren cages, they are anally and vaginally electrocuted. And they don't want that to happen to them, and we don't have the right to do it to them.
Typically, in a 40-inch coat, if it's made from coyotes, 16 coyotes are in that coat, and 48 non-target animals caught in a trap. If the coat is made of wheat, 18 of them were killed, and 54 non-target animals were killed. 60 minks and 180 non-target animals were killed. 45 possums and 135 non-target animals were killed. 20 otters and 60 non-target animals were killed. 40 raccoons, 120 non-target animals killed. 50 sables, 150 non-target animals. 50 muskrats, 150 non-target animals. 15 beavers, 45 non-target animals trapped in traps, suffering, gnawing off their own legs to escape, being attacked by other predators, dying a slow, painful death for a 40-inch head.
There's a fire on your head! There's a fire on your head!
Raccoon dog, a very peaceful dog who lives in Russia. This photograph was taken shortly before she died. Her skin ripped from her body. She was tossed on a pile of other dead and dying dogs for something we don't need. We do not need her. We do not have the right to take it from them. Our vanity means their death. Our greed means their death.
Intermix is still down for...
And they said that if they had enough public pressure, they would stop selling fur.
Hey, Intermix, what do you say? How did you murder your person?
Gassing, drowning, in electrocution!
Intermix sells fur! The one the fur industry is responsible for over 50 million deaths a year! And you, Intermix, you are complicit in keeping the popping the fur industry up!
Intermix, there is plenty of public pressure to quit selling fur. Activists warn that this just gets worse and worse unless you do the right thing and get fur products off your shelves.